How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Your sign is quiet quitting.
Yeah, we try to do.
This is so funny. We're going to have less and less sign by the end of it. It's so perfect for this episode. And when you add to the fact that we really did mean to fix the sign, but we just didn't get around to it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Don't Make Me Come Back There. We are a funny podcast about family. My name is Dustin Nickerson. I'm a stand-up comedian, the host of the aforementioned podcast. And alongside me in our state-of-the-art recording studio above Public Square Coffee in downtown La Mesa, California, is my lovely wife, my co-host, and my best friend, Melissa Nickerson, who is dressed like a 70s cowboy, the Midnight Rider herself. Member of the Allman Brothers. Born a rambling man.
Yep. That's
Melissa
me.
Nickerson.
That's me.
Our producer, head to toe, Anaheim Ducks, Andy Lara.
It's a season, baby.
Tis the season.
Tis the season.
Mm-hmm. It's fitting the clip that's doing pretty well about the spring training versus Disney parents, which, I mean, that checks both of those boxes there.
And Disney adults. Right. Disney adults.
The Ducks are no longer owned by Disney.
No, I haven't been owned for a number of years.
Yeah.
But I actually made a comment. So almost, I think it was in reference to the guy from Heated Rivalry on the SNL skit this last weekend, how someone had said, oh, the only male hockey player he actually hugged was Keenan.
Oh, that's hilarious. Mighty Ducks.
Yes, from Mighty Ducks. That is so funny.
That's good.
People forget that Keenan was in Mighty Ducks.
Yeah. And then someone had said something else, and I said, Keenan's remember though, like, the Ducks were like the first on-screen off-sale of a hockey team. That was actually a Minnesota team that got sold to the Olympics and then to Disney.
Oh my gosh. You know what I think of when I think of Mighty Ducks, of all things? The roast of Charlie Sheen back in the day. Patrice O'Neill goes, you know, they always say you can't keep a Sheen down, but you can keep an Estevez down. Because they're cousins. The Sheens and the Estevezes are related to each other. And that's Emilio Estevez. He's like, that guy hasn't worked in years. He was the good one.
Last week,
Cousins or brothers? They're very close.
They're brothers.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
He just didn't take the Sheen name.
Yeah, that's right.
But no, it's hilarious.
You can keep an Estevez down, though. So mean.
Wow.
His official account on Facebook liked one of my posts. From like last
Emilio
week.
Estevez
yes,
did?
From Emilio Estevez. I was like, this has got to be fake. And I went to their page and was like, this is actually his page.
How about that? Love it. Well, anyways, today on the pod, we have John Acuff. John Acuff, some of you may know from way back in the day from a little blog called Stuff Christians Like. And then he's a published author. I think he's got a new book called Procrastination Proof, which is his 11th book.
Mm-hmm.
So we have him on the pod today. John is a friend, has become a friend over the years. We talk about procrastination. We talk about being an empty nester. What else do we talk about? Talk about goals.
Gen Z and entering the marketplace, the workforce.
A little bit of AI in there.
That was good.
A little bit of travel in there.
Tips for that. And then tips for procrastinating. I don't know. I guess the more was goal setting with parenthood and
overthinking a little bit.
Yeah.
John's funny. Mm-hmm. John's interesting. He's well spoken, eloquent dude, and it's always good to see him. So, we have a nice chat with him. Thanks for doing that. And make sure you can. So, his book, Procrastination Proof, is not out yet. It comes out April, but you can pre order it now. And if you pre order it, then you get the audio book for free. So, go check it out. Make sure you get his book.
It's funny. Nice. In the spirit of procrastination, as we're sitting there having that interview, I was thinking to myself, I'm like, oh man, like stirred up like a lot of things that I hadn't thought about in probably like almost 15 years, like 17 years, because I wouldn't be even sitting here producing this show if had not been for John Acuff.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it was like, totally saw him like at a conference back in probably like 11 or 10, like 11, I think. And it was around the time I think he was writing Quitter or had written it. But wait, even yeah, so, yeah.
You read it in like 2014 or
something like that.
Yeah.
So it's around, it was around that time. And I
procrastinated
think,
getting around to it.
Yeah. it was funny. The nugget that he kind of he'd said is the thing, the very thing that, you know, spurred it on was like the whole idea of like, you know, if you're trying to get out of your job, start to like leverage it to benefit you so you could then take, you know, suck it all out so you can then use it for the thing that's coming next or whatever it was. And like, I remember like repeating that to people around me at Apple when I was working and mentoring them and just being like, hey, if you don't like this, like leverage it for everything you can get from it.
That's what you told your bosses.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm leveraging you.
I'm just here to take the money.
Yeah.
But I eventually listened, you know, to that advice.
Yeah.
And, you know, got out of that. Went into work I did for 10 years and then kind of continued that. And it's been a background subconscious thing I've always kind of had of like, how does this help the next thing? It doesn't, you know, and that kind of thing. But
does that mean you're leveraging us now?
I'll always.
Well, I got bad news. We're no Apple.
Wait.
I see your invoices. They're not going that far.
So anyways, big thank you to John.
Yeah.
I didn't get to say that.
Well, and
however,
thank
you. However, if you hear this, John, huge thank you.
I mean, and I there is, it, you know, not as directly, but absolutely. I mean, Quitter helped me. I mean, a lot of my situation was very unique in stand-up. We've talked about this at length on this pod, but I mean, I wasn't just like a 19-year-old, 21-year-old who went into mics while I was in college or right out of college, which a lot of most comedians start in their early 20s, if not earlier than that. And I was 27. Married for 9 years, had two kids, and a day job working at the rec center, which I loved the job, but it was like, I started stand up, and I'm like, that's it. But I just always remember, and I talk about this on the pod, is like the temptation of wanting to just quit my job or the temptation to want to just focus solely on comedy and being like, but he says, and like, that's just going to make you bad at that job later. You're going to be bad at the new job you want to go to if you're robbing this job now. And that's true. I do think a little bit of like the work ethic and the discipline that I have in stand up has come from like still working hard at the rec center and still trying to be creative. And, you know, granted, I played a lot of ping pong at the rec center, but I played hard. And that's what matters there. So anyways, check out the book, everybody, and enjoy this episode with John.
It'll be good. Sorry, I got distracted. Bye.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take 5 before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
I got a lot I want to talk to you about, and I got some notes, and we have some questions from podcasters and such, or sorry, some of our patrons and our listeners and such, but I think this flows in nicely. Speaking of your house, so we sent a kid to college this year. If the internet is correct, you have 2 kids in school. Are you an empty nester?
Yeah. Yeah, we've been an empty nester for, this is going on our 2nd full year of it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw your clip, Melissa, I think it was you that said his world has to get bigger and ours get smaller.
Yeah.
Is that how you frame? Mm-hmm. Oh man, so good. So good.
You want to?
That's such a good way to
frame
it.
Well, the best part about that is, let me give you a little backstory, and I don't know how like funny or creative or much of a writer your wife is. Forgive me if I don't know that. My wife is very creative, but she'll be the first to say the words escape her at times, or it's you're not a writer. You say
yeah,
a lot.
Like if I have to do like a birthday card, or I'm just like I got nothing.
Right. So
just hard for me to articulate my thoughts via words.
So we spent that whole trip with me like being emotional, but also kind of trying to find the words. And you know where you're like trying to find the little snippet that perfectly describes
the button,
it.
The bow.
And then Mel just pulled it out of nowhere. Just like,
yeah, it was good.
Well, and then I was like, this has rocked people's worlds. This is the perfect description of sending of someone leaving. And finally, we got a new leaving the nest thing, and it came from you. And then you totally forgot you said it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's great. I don't remember.
And we said it on the podcast, and in that clip, I'm trying to set her up. I'm and like, remember that
you're giving her an alley-oop. It's an alley-oop. You know how to dunk. You know how to dunk.
Clearly don't.
She couldn't remember it.
Gary Payton and Sean Kemp, you're the glove. You're just trying to... Rain Man. Yeah. Let's go, Rain
Anything.
Man.
And she couldn't find it.
It's just... Yeah.
So it's...
Words escape me.
But I think that does make it an even more true, beautiful sentiment of like living in the moment and not being like me. And I don't know if you're this way to some extent too. You're like, but how can we publish this?
Oh, no, you're right. You're never not writing. Right. Like if you do comedy or you do what I do, write books and do corporate speaking, you're always like, oh, that's an interesting angle on that. Or I've never thought about that. Or that's a story. Yeah. Like. Yeah, that's I'd say that's a challenge. Yeah, we've been empty nest for 2 years or going on 2 years. And I'll just tell you, like, because you guys aren't, right? You're not there yet?
No, we've got 7 years left.
Yeah, sophomore and a sixth grader. Yeah, at home.
So let's pretend you'll remember this advice I give you. Here's what I say. Like, we blew it the first couple weekends because we ran out of, we went through all our stuff too fast. Like, we did all our errands really fast. Like, we went to Costco and Trader Joe's and the grocery store and Walmart. It was like 9 a.m. and we were all done. And then I was like, so I guess we just stare at each other for 16 hours. Like, is this what? Like, and then it was like, you go through this phase where you're like, what do we do? Like puzzles? Is this when we get into puzzles? Yeah. So like, it opens up these really funny new rhythms. And where I got in trouble, it was like a Monday and it was Labor Day. And I ran a 10K and I was home at like 8:45, already showered and done. And there was nothing to do. And I was like, well, don't you have some returns at Walmart? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, let's do that. So we're standing in line at Walmart. And she goes, by the way, you don't want to be here. You're just restless and you're taking a task I was going to do on Tuesday. So now on Tuesday, you have to entertain me. And I was like, let's go. We left because she's like, there's no world where you've ever been like, you know what would be cool today? Let's do some returns at Walmart. I love that. And she totally busted me and was like, you've got to learn to be okay with empty space in our lives that we fill over time. But you can't just be like, we got to go, go, go. Because that is just not honest. And it certainly wasn't, you know, it wasn't fun.
Right.
So yeah, it's a good rhythm. But my whole thing is like, if you like your wife or husband, it's an awesome season. Like, and unfortunately not everybody, you know, likes their spouse.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And Jenny and I really enjoy being with each other. So it's been a fun, and she gets to travel with me too.
Yeah. Well, you guys, I was going to say you have, with your line of work, you know, you don't have an office you're going into either, right? I mean, I assume you do
maybe.
Most of your,
We have one now for podcasting and events, and like we'll do small events at the office, but no, I don't have an office like I'm going into. And so even that, like when you work at like your house, I remember when we first got good at that, I had to learn to not go tell her everything that happened to me as exactly as it happened in the moment. Because at dinner, I'd go, hey, what happened for you today? And she'd be like, since I saw you these last 17 times, you ran downstairs and said, hey, this client thing happened. Yeah. Hey. And so I learned to like save stories for later. Like I can sit in my office for 3 hours. I'll talk to her later. So yeah, it's a fun, I mean, you do something similar where like, we both have kind of made up jobs, you know, and like you're kind of reinventing it constantly and your job, you no longer just get to be a comedian. I was thinking about that today because you texted and were like, hey, the podcast is running a little late. And I was like, Rodney Dangerfield never had to send that text. No. Like he had never had to be like, I've got some questions from my patrons.
Yeah.
They sent it in, you know, like I've got a podcast. And it's like, well, if you want to do comedy, you also have to do 11 other things. And it's the same with my career. Sure. Like if you want to write books, it's not just books. It's a, like, I'm not a full-time author in that sense. I do a lot of things.
Yeah, I saw.
Because we're in a creative
field. I saw someone say today, I randomly got on Threads, because that's the new one you got to be on. And I, for the record, I like Threads. Yeah. But somebody was like, hey, you know, Instagram comedians, you know, you don't have to crowd the stages and do stand-up. But I was like, I understand that sentiment as somebody who came up before social media was prominent in my world. But I was like, there's no more divide anymore. Like, you're a comedian. No. You are on Instagram, or your stuff is on Instagram. It's one and the same. And the equivalent back in the day for like those guys was like movies. You had to do movies. You had to do TV.
Back to school.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you would do like more late night appearances. But even that was stand up. I mean, when Dangerfield is sitting there next to Carson, he's doing his bits. You know, it's still
it's not just a conversation he came up with in the moment.
He's doing his
home runs. It's all home runs all the time.
Yeah, he didn't have to ask. Does anybody have any questions for John? That's a very
no.
I didn't have to go far.
He didn't say, "Hey, what do you do in the third row? What kind of job do you have?"
He did not have to go download a picture of his friend John and upload to his fan group and go, "Hey, does anybody got any questions for John?"
Exactly. I hope it's a current one. I hope it's gray-haired version. It's not like dark-haired, because sometimes people be like, "This is you, right?" I'm like, "Ooh, that was a long time ago."
Well, to me, you looked old young, and so you look young old.
I'll take that.
I never thought, I was like, look at that old man. But even when you started popping in my radar, I was like, that's a grown up. So, you know, you look very sick.
Yeah.
You look the way that I bet people are very surprised when you say you're an empty nester. That will be comments that we get. Because
like 50, I'm 50, and I guess that's early for some people, because I think also people are having kids later. So like, if you already have them out of the house, they're like, we've got a 4-year-old, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good luck.
My buddy, we're going to have him on the pod in a couple weeks. My buddy Graham K, who is my age. Mm-hmm. I think Graham might be a little older than me, actually. He's a very funny comedian. His fiance is pregnant with their first child. And I'm like,
oh boy,
dude,
oh boy,
my son's about to turn 19.
Yeah,
He has a wispy mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
My child has a wispy mustache. Yeah. Yours doesn't exist
exactly.
yet.
That's exactly it. You? So you guys are in the new empty nester stage and
doing a lot of Walmart returns.
Doing a lot of that. The funniest part about that, and this is how it would turn into a comedy bit, is like, it's already funny, and you're like, you're not even buying something at Walmart.
I'm giving them their stuff
exactly.
back. I'm like, here, we don't need
there's
this.
There's no dopamine hit of the new thing coming.
Yeah.
No, they're going to charge it back to the card. I won't even see that money. I won't touch it. I'm in the library portion of Walmart.
That's so funny. Do you think it's ironic then that in this time of your life, which you have more time than you've ever had, at least in the last 20 plus years, that you wrote the book on procrastination? Because if you're not doing it now, you really are just straight up good old fashioned procrastinating.
Oh yeah, if at 50, I'm like, I don't think I'm gonna get this together. Yeah. I'm just gonna coast on.
Well, like, you have less events to go to, like less volleyball game. I don't know what sports your kids did, your girls did.
Swimming. Yeah. And swimming's one of those sports where you kind of root against your kid because like they go, first race is at 7 a.m. Finals is at 10 p.m. tonight. You have to spend 14 hours in downtown Indianapolis. Good luck if your kid makes the finals.
Yeah.
If they lose, you give them a 30-second pep talk on the walk back to the car. You get to drive home.
Yeah.
Like you get to.
You're like, what are we getting
so,
for dinner?
And so, swim me. Yeah. Good job. Like, all right. Like, But it is funny because we do have a ton of time. But for me, like the funny thing about this book, it's book number 11. I thought it would get easier. And I wonder if this is true of comedy. You do get better at the craft, but you've already picked the low-hanging fruit. Mm. Like I've already told the easy stories. Like I had to climb pretty high in the tree to tell a new story, or I had to dig pretty deep to find a new angle because I've written 10 other books. And it's like, all right, well, what's different about this one? I'm sure if you're a comedian, you've done 10 specials, like special 11s. Intimidating, because you're like, if you're not keeping that muscle going and getting new fresh stuff constantly, it's harder.
Yeah, I mean, I'm about to put out special three or four.
Yeah.
Something. And mm-hmm. So I'm not there, but where I can relate is the podcast. And
yeah,
that, you know,
like
we've been
eight,
doing this
nine?
Like 7 or 8 years, yeah. And you are just like, yeah. Somebody had that joke about, you know, Good Hang won like the award for best podcast. And you're like, I mean, you know, let's see where you're at in year 7 or 8 and you've told all your stories. You know? Like, yeah. And I'm not saying yeah. It's not a great podcast. Yeah. Of course it is. But that sure. Of course goes to your point of you're like, I got to start digging. I don't have as many stories or anecdotes to tell. I'm sure you're really digging for something like mining for a deeper thought, a deeper perspective, less of just like a hook and here's 10 stories to sell the hook.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, you're really trying, and you're trying to go, what am I hearing from people that is actually going to help them? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the other thing. It's kind of like you develop, you know, content on the road. I develop books on the road, meaning I'm in 50 companies a year and I'm talking and I do a pre-call with them. So I'm having 50 calls with CEOs and CIOs. And what am I seeing from them? That's like, oh, this is what their people are really struggling with. Mm-hmm. 'Cause from my space, you don't want to release a book that nobody has that problem. And yeah. You go, hey, I fixed this problem. People go, yeah, we don't really care. Like, none of us have that.
Right.
It's cool that you do. It's weird, but we don't. So like, that's what I'm doing on the road is I'm trying to figure out the book all year in the same way that you're refining the special all year. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm
right.
doing.
Right. So yeah. did procrastination proof? Did it birth then out of a something you struggle with or something you saw people struggling with? Because I'll tell you.
Yeah, I struggled with
okay,
it.
Okay, go ahead. That's
no, it was me. Like, until I was like in my mid-30s, I hadn't written a single book. I hadn't done anything I was excited about. Mm. I had like a really very average, mediocre is probably a better word, career. And so like I started to work on it in my mid 30s. And so then I went from writing zero books between, you know, let's say 18 to 34. And then this will be 11 since then. And so I started to practice it and care about it. But the way I write is I find a problem I have and then I go see if I can solve it. And then I see, do enough other people have it too, that it's worth a book. And so with procrastination proof, like my litmus test for a book is, can I find a question people can't say no to? Mm. Like with my book soundtracks, hey, do you ever overthink? Nobody goes, I never overthink. I only think the exact right amount of thoughts. Like I never, you know, with perfectionism and finish, it was like, do you finish everything you start? No, it's way easier to start than it is for me to finish. Procrastination proof. If you say to somebody, do you ever procrastinate or delay the things you really want to do? Nobody goes, no, I actually do everything I've ever wanted to do. And yeah. I never delay a minute. I never doom scroll. I never get stuck in my head. You know, that's what I look for, is like a problem I have. And then do a lot of people have it too?
Well, I mean, listen, there's a real irony here that, you know, we started this Zoom 35 minutes late. So
yeah, we almost didn't have it at all. You texted me a very clear text that said, let's do it at Central Time. And I was like, that's amazing. He adjusted for me. Because I'll be honest, West Coast guys usually act like there's only one time zone. Mm-hmm. And then you throw mountain at them and they're like, I don't even mess with mountain.
My joke about mountain time was that how did it go? It sounds like what your dad says to you when he wakes you up on a camping trip at 4 a.m. You're like, why are you waking me up? Like, it's mountain time. You know, like, it doesn't even sound like a
it's not
actual,
real.
No, a real time zone. Yeah,
this is what I told.
That's funny. We did start.
Yeah,
late.
This is what I told.
Yeah, we're like,
Andy, our producer and Mel is like, I travel enough that I am very mindful of time zones and I know the difference between each of them and I know where I'm at, but I never convert the right direction. That's what happens. That's exactly what happened here. As I said, we can do 9 or 11 your time. And what I meant is 9 or 11 my time.
Well, dude, 9 your time is 7 a.m. So I was like, look at this one of those comedians that loves a 7 a.m. meeting.
No, God, no. No, absolutely not. That was one of the funny. So This is a classic thing in our world too that nobody cares about, but the three of us and Andy will get a laugh over is, you know, you were pitched to us as a guest through your publicist, and I laughed. I was like, you know, you could have texted John, but of course you don't know who they're throwing themselves to. But one of the things that was said in there that was very interesting, where you talked about, and I'm sure you explore this more in the book, of like, you have that person that you're like, I'm going to get up early tomorrow and I'm going to do this, this, and this, and this. I'm going to get up, I'm going to work out, I'm going to do those things. And that's who you think. And then there's who you actually are when you wake up. And that's who I, like, I am, maybe it's the comedian in me, maybe it's the ADHD-er in me. I like a slow start to the morning. Like, I can be up at 7 a.m., but the idea that I'm going to work out at 7 a.m. is not going to happen. Even if I love the idea that that person exists, but he's not real. Yeah. So how do you differentiate or talk to people about, like, you know, maybe coming to grips with who the real morning you is, or morphing that into the one you want to be?
Yeah. Well, I usually just ask questions. And so, like, where I'll see people get stuck is they'll say, I've got all these exciting goals I want to do, and I'm going to do all these things. And then I'll just start to put time against them. So they'll say, I want to call 100 clients this week, or I'm going to do 50 LinkedIn posts or whatever. And I'll go, well, how much time would that take? Or how many client calls do you do a week right now? And they'll go, 5. And I go, okay, you're going to 20x your production. Seems aggressive, but on the internet, everything's like 1,000x.
That's the...
And now with AI, you can change your... Like, I saw somebody the other day say, it took my 8-hour workday to 90 seconds using AI. And I was like, no, it didn't. No, it didn't. Like, it didn't reduce your day by 99%. 90 seconds.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
That's bad. Yeah, like... Yeah, that's so funny. Like, I just saw a thing with Charles Barkley talked about what changed his career. Maybe you saw this was like a viral clip. He had like a veteran. He came in.
Help him lose weight? Was it the lose weight?
Yeah,
guy?
Did you? Yeah. It was like a, yeah, you see the same clip and he was like.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, and it was like, hey, let's get you down 10 pounds. And he just said, like, let's get you down another 10. And he's like, I felt a little better. And then he gets in there, he's like, now I feel fat. As opposed to being like, hey, you need to lose 50 pounds or you're going to be out of the league.
So overwhelming. Yeah. So, but the problem is people get inspired and excited and they kind of plan a life that, like you said, doesn't exist. So I'll go, looking at your goals, that's 20 hours of time. How much free time do you have in your week? And they go, free time? I'm very busy. I don't have any free time. And I'll go, well, you just created a 20-hour plan and 0 hours to spend it on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's going to fail the second you start. But the problem is we say things like go big or go home, and the reality is most people go home. Mm. So they go, no, I have to have – like they never say I want to run a mile. They say I want to do a marathon.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, whoa, that's a lot of miles. Let's start with a small one. But starting small isn't sexy or easy to yell on Instagram. Like if I write about like, hey, I think you could run 50 yards, that is not going viral. Nobody's like, John is the wind beneath my wings. That is, he believes in me. Mm-hmm. That's part of the tension is that reality of like, let's actually build it into your life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's good for me to hear that thing about you that you said like you procrastinated until your 30s, because I will say, as someone who like you weren't really on my radar until then as far as like you know, your content or any of your books or anything, but for a guy like me, when I see you write a book on procrastination, I immediately roll my eyes. I was like,
of course.
This is classic. This is your classic like type A. It'd be like you writing one on Mel. Mel is super type A, super. I mean, you're also very creative, but you don't procrastinate. You get stuff done. You're the do the hard thing first. Let's just get this done and then get it out of the way. So when I saw you write, I was like, yeah, right. I mean, this guy, I mean, not for 1 second. And maybe you don't now, but you're saying the first 3 decades were a little different for you.
I would just say, one, I hear what you're saying, and that's how I feel every time Steph Curry is on a masterclass teaching you how to be a basketball player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, lesson one should be born to Del Curry, the second leading scorer of all time in Charlotte's history.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, that should be step one.
It's a good start.
Yeah, it's and so, like, for me, I'm the same way. But I would say, like, that's why the book, it's 72 really short chapters, because in the research, so many books about procrastination were written by people who weren't procrastinators, and they'd be 400 pages long.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'd always go, if you have a 90 page note section, you're not a procrastinator. Yeah. Like, you're that's yeah. like, that's Jane Goodall writing about monkeys. I feel like a monkey writing about monkeys.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, my wife, similar to Mel, it sounds like, where, like, we went to this goal setting conference that I dragged her to. She can't stand that stuff because she's so naturally good
yeah.
at it. I was taking notes like crazy. And she was like, all this stuff is so obvious. And I was like, no, it's not. Like, it reminded me, there's a Simpsons episode where they go to a parenting class because they lose their kids to the Flanders, like yeah. Child Protective Services. And in the class, they're like, step one, throw garbage in the trash can, not just on the floor. And Marge is like, this is so embarrassing. And Homer's taking all these notes. Dude, my natural bent is I'm a pessimist, I'm cynical, I'm a procrastinator. Like, I just work at it. Mm. And so that's why I like these books, is because I do feel I don't like a book by a morning person that says, if you don't get up at 3 a.m., what are you even doing with your life?
Yeah.
And that person is naturally wired to get up at 3 a.m. and probably hates their marriage too. A smidge of that is in works. But like, that person I can't relate
yeah.
to. And so
yeah.
my books, I try to go, this is where I'm struggling with it. Here's what I learned.
Yeah.
But yeah, I get the eye roll 100%.
Yeah.
Like, oh, John's 11th book is about procrastination. Congratulations.
Okay. Well, it's, you know, now's the time, I suppose, to address this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's get it out of the way.
This is a question for my wife, actually. Am I accurately depicting you? Do you feel like you are a procrastinator? I also don't feel like you're a natural like goal setter. You just kind of get a bunch of stuff. You're just very efficient. You're more productive than me.
Well, we like to say that, like, he's in the clouds and I'm in the weeds. Like,
that's good.
That one was mine,
wrote that.
Not Mel.
Yeah.
That
yeah, that's good.
I was
dude.
Clouds and weeds
yeah, that's
guy.
Good. Yeah, that's
it's in
good,
the new
dude.
Special.
Yeah.
It's coming out soon.
And
it's called Weeds and Clouds.
Yeah. Exactly.
So
big world, small world.
It is like, I think this is moving more and more, which
oh,
is
good.
Hilarious.
No, keep it going.
Wait.
We meant to fix it. We just didn't get around to it.
You procrastinated.
Our sign is breaking.
Haven't read the book yet, all right?
Okay, so the question is, am I a procrastinator? It's very easy for me to... Like, this is like, I'm meeting with our accountant on Thursday, you know, tax time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like,
yeah.
I'm going to get all that done. You know, like, I'm not going to put it off to the last second. But other things I will, like more like creative things, I'll procrastinate mm-hmm. on.
You push off the fun things, the things that like.
The fun things, yes. I'll just be like, no, I'm in
yeah.
the weeds. I got to stay down here,
yeah.
you know, and just like kind of barrel through all the boring, hard stuff.
Yeah, Jenny doesn't have to do checklists or like she knows this. She's the same way as you. Like, I know it'll happen. There's no way I walk into Thursday not ready.
Right.
I gotta
like,
be ready.
I know it'll happen.
Yeah.
I don't need a chart. I don't need color-coded stickers. Like, it's going to
yeah,
yeah.
it's gonna
get
happen.
Done.
Yeah, I get
yeah.
that. I get
but
that.
There's probably something too. Like, I mean, it is important to do the stimulating, fun, creative thing too.
100%.
Right?
Oh,
oh
yeah.
100%.
Or otherwise, what's the point? Like, that's the thing. I ran into John Chris the other day at the Sky Club because that's where you run into
yeah.
people in Nashville.
Yeah.
Like, I saw Michael W. Smith there the other
day. I saw
day,
your post,
and I was,
yeah.
I totally made a go west. I was like, go west.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
just west.
Yeah.
I didn't bother him. You're not supposed to talk to people in Nashville that are famous. Like, you're supposed
we'll
to pretend it's
alone.
Not Sheryl Crow at the swim meet.
Oh, hilarious.
But John Chris and I are talking about that, about like how come like
hey,
some
John will
comedians
talk to you. John will be like, do you want a picture?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I almost asked him for one. I was like, the first time I saw him, I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. We went to lunch and somebody came up to the table and was like, hey, John Acuff, I love your books. They've changed my life. Would you take a photo of me and John Chris? And I was like, and dude,
that's
was
hilarious.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. Nobody liked him more than
like,
John either. Yeah, yeah, that's a good.
I was like, you want vertical,
yeah,
horizontal?
Yeah, yeah.
What kind of angle do you want?
Yeah,
like,
I'll tag him in it too.
It was, yeah, it was very.
And then you're like,
yeah.
can you take
but
a picture of me
about,
and John? Sorry. So,
yeah.
anyways, you were talking to John.
No, they didn't want a picture of me.
Yeah.
It was odd. But I just think we talked about like the creative thing, where are some comedians who can't enjoy the thing? Mm. Like, mm-hmm. they've been successful, but they can't enjoy the thing. They can't release themselves to go enjoy, like, oh man, I got to the thing I was trying to do, or I accomplished it. I don't think that's just comedians. I think that's all humans. But I think you're right. There is that sense of like, when I've accomplished something, can I actually enjoy it? Or am I already on to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing? And can I make time for the things that are just creative, that are just enjoyable?
It does kind of tie into, I don't know, I almost see a parallel there of what you were saying with being an empty nester too. You're like, well, can I enjoy this season? Because you do push so hard in the kids' season and then suddenly it's over. And you're like, can I enjoy this? Or do I have to fill it with a new thing? Or do I know who I am anymore? You know, what are we doing here?
Yeah. I would just say, like, for me, it's just the reverse of the first moment I felt like that. Like, I remember when we had our first kid, there's like 42 doctors in the room. It's like ER. It's crazy. Yeah. And then there's this moment where they go, here you go. Good luck with the rest of your life. And they all leave. Yeah. And you have this like, whoa, like, I'm in charge of this human. It's that, like, when we dropped off, you know, our kids, it was like we're driving away and you go, okay, let's figure, you just have to figure out a new rhythm. Mm. Again, like, I keep using that word, but it's like, okay, I don't want to overfill it. But I do like to be like active. So it's, you know, like, it is a balance. I'm pretty restless as a person. So I wouldn't say I'm good at vacation. Like, I have friends that are like, I'm great at vacation. I turn off the second I go on it. And I'm not like,
I'm pointing at our honeymoon.
she's not good at it. She's not good at vacation.
No, finish your honeymoon story. Yeah. Then I'll give the anecdote.
I won a ping pong tournament on my honeymoon because I had already read the only book I brought, and I wandered off at the Sandals Resort in Montego Bay, and they had a ping pong tournament.
Like, well.
And I was gone for like 3 hours. I came back. My brand new wife was like, where have you been? And I was like, dominating an international ping pong tournament. We won. I made us go to the ceremony. They had an award ceremony.
You won an award on your honeymoon.
Yeah, I'm such a, I was a great husband.
Well, what Mel is not, is you're not a procrastinator, but I think these tie in here, and maybe these are the different types, or you were talking about the procrastination economy and stuff. What Mel is an overthinker. And what that means is you get restless and it's hard for you to relax. So our story is, we're in Kauai, dream gig. They hit you up. I got hit up and they're like, hey, we can't pay you much, but we can give you 4 days and flights. And you're like, well, that's why you work, is so you can afford to go to Kauai. Great. So we get there and I always joke that, like, you know, day three on the island, Mel laid out in the sun and relaxed. It took 3 days for you to be like,
I guess I'll sit down.
What were you doing the other two? Just pacing? Yeah.
Thinking? Yeah. Worrying?
What should we do next?
I mean, we found out later she has an anxiety disorder. But you were overthinking, right?
Brain spinning.
Were you planning stuff? Were you like, I want to do Kauai right? Like, was it like, I wanted to get it all in? This might be our only time here.
I just wasn't seated. I don't know. Like, I just, I was like, let's go. Let's do this. Yeah. Let's take it all in. Yeah. Let's do this hike, this point. Let's go see in restaurants. I don't know. I think, it's hard to stop when you're in like a busy season.
Yeah.
For some of us.
Yeah. It doesn't feel natural when you're so busy to just go like, you're like, oh, there's probably something I'm supposed to be doing right now.
Yeah. Like we had little kids.
Go on.
One of them was sick. You know, they were in good hands, but you're like, one of them was on antibiotics, right? So you're like, hope everyone's good
on.
And, you know, and a birthday. And, you know, we were bookending the trip with, you know, antibiotics and a birthday, you know? Yeah. And so, like, just kind of that internal, like, is everyone okay? Is she okay? Did I tell them right? You know, are they going to XYZ?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think
a lot of open loops. Dustin, how many trips do you do a year? Like, if you had to estimate
48 weekends a year. Like,
48 weekends a year. So, like, that's the other part, is that there's a natural chaos. Like, travel is naturally chaotic.
Yeah.
Like, I remember when my wife came with me on one of my first trips when we were empty nest, and she was like, the airport assaults every sense you have all at once. Mm-hmm. Like, it's loud. It's visually overstimulating.
It smells.
A lot of it smells. Yeah. People are angry. Mm-hmm. Like, and I was used to it because I'd been conditioned by the road. But I think that's the other thing, is that you guys have the type of life where there's a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
In part because of what you do for a living, Dustin. Mm-hmm. And I think that adds a layer of like, go, go, go. Because I love when I meet people and go, oh, I travel a lot too. And I'll go, how often? They go, I probably do a business trip once a quarter. I'm at the airport. I'm at the airport constantly. Yeah. I'm like, once a quarter. That's adorable.
It's sweet. That is really sweet.
Is not, you've been to Dallas twice this year? That's nuts, dude. Whoa. You're going through the Big D.
Yeah. You're like, I know where the Bahama Breeze and MCO is. And they're like, what?
Oh, yeah. I know which side of the train to stand on at MCO. If you want the doors to open.
We were coming out of Tampa. That was so funny. And it was, and I've maybe been to Tampa 3 or 4 times, and we're flying back because we did the Nate Land cruise, and we come back. I was like, hey, we're going to get on this train. And I was like, we got to get towards the
front. Scooch over.
I go, we have to be on the front. I go, because right when we get off, this is security. It's you got to get ahead of all these people. And you go, well, as we did it, you didn't say anything as we did it, but then we got ahead of all of them and we got in the security line. She goes, how did you know that? I go, I don't really know.
Yeah.
It just... Just something in there was like, oh yeah, Tampa, this. Go.
You access Tampa in your head. Like the Tampa file got called up. And it was
like a front of the train.
Personal guide out there.
Yeah.
No, I think the same, but I think the same thing is for me where I'll go, oh, in this airport, the staff, the flight attendants all use this one TSA line. So you don't want to be in that one because they just cut you like 100 flight attendants from Emirates will come in all at once and you'll be right
That's
at the
so
and
funny.
They go and so I'm like, no, you want one over. This is where but if you're if you're constantly traveling, you develop things like that
makes sense.
Which is funny to me.
This kind of ties in. This is a question we had from one of our listeners, from Carly. She was excited to have you on. She goes, yay, fun guest. Here's a genuine question. I'm a stay-at-home mom, homeschool mom, and I feel like whenever he talks about big goals or dreams, I come up with nothing. Any suggestions for how to refocus and dream again? I know this is not a great question for a comedy podcast, I guess, unless you'd like to just make fun of homeschoolers.
No, I feel like that's been done. I feel like that's been done.
And he's a homeschool dad, so that's why he's laughing. Homeschoolers we've covered.
I feel like that's been... No, I would...
Go ahead.
I'd give her genuine advice. I mean, my advice would be like, raising a whole human is a pretty big dream. I think that's the type of question indicative of how little we put into stay-at-home moms as a valuable thing, where we go... She feels this guilt of like, I'm not doing enough big things. And I go, you're in charge of a human, like raising a, like you're going to teach somebody how to walk and read. And so like, I'm married to a stay-at-home mom. Like, and I remember Jenny, it always bothered Jenny where we go to dinner parties and somebody go, John, what are you up to? And I'd say, and they go, Jenny, what are you doing? And she'd be like, oh, I'm staying home with the kids. We're really excited. And they go, no, but I mean, what else? And that's a really insulting thing to be like, no, in addition to raising humans. So I always say, especially like, one, that's a big deal. The second thing I always give, especially stay-at-home moms, is the soundtrack, New Seasons Deserve New Scorecards. The big problem is when people enter new seasons, they judge themselves against the old scorecard. So you see young moms go, I used to be this really successful real estate agent. I was doing 50 houses a year, and now I'm staying half home with my kid, and I'm still doing real estate. And I only did 20 houses this year. I'm a failure because I didn't do 50. And I go, no. New seasons deserve new scorecards. Like, you're in a new season. Redefine what a win looks like. So for Carly, I'd be like, redefine what your wins are, and like, what an amazing thing that you get to do that, and find the goals and the dreams in that. Mm-hmm. Like, because I think it's worth it.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah, for sure. I just like spent every Sunday afternoon teaching our daughter how to drive. She's 16, and I look back at my calendar, it's hilarious because I had to give I didn't want the roads to be busy. I wanted her to be rested, you know, so Sunday afternoon was our time. And I had to, like, guard that and really, like, learn how to teach my second kid how to drive. So that's the thing. It's the season, but it was, like, it was 9 months, you know? And so...
It was a huge season. Yeah. So, and it was... It's scary how little they know. Like, those first couple of weeks, you're like, have you closed your eyes every time I've driven you somewhere?
Yeah, they don't,
like,
know where I remember,
yeah.
No, or like, I remember we were driving down the road with one of my kids and somebody was pulling out of their driveway and they're like, do I stop right now in the middle of the road and let them out? And we're like, no, we're in the road. Like we have the, and there were just questions like that where it's like, one of them got their hands twisted because they didn't know how to feed a steering wheel through. Like, they just pretzeled their arms as they made a turn. And dude, I don't know about California, but in Tennessee, as a parent, you just have to write down on a piece of paper, I did 50 hours of driving with them. Yeah. There's no verification.
No.
Like, you just go like, yeah, I did that. Yeah. And a signature, lot of parents are like, yeah, they'll be fine. Yeah. Like, I signed, they'll be
like
fine.
It's like the reading log in school.
Yeah, they did it. It was close. I didn't count it specifically, but it felt like 50.
Yeah, I know.
My goal with teaching my kids was just, it was a success if I didn't yell at them during it or after it. Like, if I measured my patience, because I'd be like, it's terrible. So Dustin, she was on that. Did you, like, you taught your son and she taught your daughter? Or was it like, man,
I mean,
we tag teamed,
but I mean, it was 80-20.
Yeah, the first freeway drive with both kids. I was like, that's you.
Yeah. The first time merging onto a Southern California freeway, dad got the call for those. I mean, it really, a lot of it just came down to first off, you are a better teacher than me. You are.
I wouldn't say I'm a teacher, but I just have a little more patience or the step process, but I don't.
You're just also better at logistics than me. You're better at giving steps. You're better at.
Neither of us are great teachers, but I'm a little bit.
I disagree. You literally are a teacher. You teach art.
You just described what a teacher does, by the way. She goes, I'm not a teacher. I just have patience. I'm good at systems. Yeah. I have steps.
Yeah.
I have handouts that are stapled.
Like, I got a binder.
You just described.
Yeah.
I like to show up to the same place, except in the summer.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, so a lot of it is just because you got to do those longer drives. I'm just gone during the times that we could do those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we try to do...
This is so funny. We're going to have less and less sign by the end of it. It's so perfect for this episode. And when you add to the fact that we really did mean to fix the sign, but we just didn't get around to it.
Just didn't get to... Slowly quitting. It's quiet quitting. Your sign is quiet quitting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you brought up quiet quitting, because this is a question, because we talk a lot about on this pod, obviously, about parenting and generational differences. So you have two girls in school, and, you know, you're in the world of leadership and coaching and goals and stuff. There's been lots to say, and not talking about your daughter specifically, but maybe it does tie into them. There's been lots of pieces that have come out about just how unmotivated and how kind of unambitious a lot of youth is right now, and not like in the good old fashioned way of like, you're lazy, you're not hardworking. They're going into a very overwhelming world.
Marketplace. Yeah.
And they've also are inundated with people that have monetized dream jobs. Like, they hear about every person that has a dream job that they, don't know.
They see it.
Like, and they
influencers.
Just, like, for our son, for example, who loves selling and is very good at sourcing and thrifting vintage clothes, I think that would be a dream job for him. But you go like, yeah, but most likely, and this is where I came across with you, is when Quitter came out, you most likely are going to have to work a normal job for at least a while in addition to this. So I don't know if you have any thoughts or perspective or things that you tell like younger people like entering the marketplace or feel overwhelmed or like goals. Like, I'm never going to own a house. We're millennials. Only half of our generation owns a house, or being satisfied in my work. work or whatever it may be, because I don't know, they kind of get kicked, you know, for their lack of ambition. And you're like, well, it's not looking great for them as far as the marketplace in the world goes.
Well, I just think you're right in that they're kind of under two pressures. One, they're being told you'll never be able to afford a house, that kind of language. And then two, look at everybody else achieving amazing things on Instagram constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So there's this kind of like, you go like, you don't get to do it, but everybody else minus you is currently doing it. And it's pretty easy. Mm-hmm. It's the AI thing of like, AI turned my job into 90 seconds. And you're like, that's not, there's still some party that goes, maybe that guy knows something I don't know, and I'm a failure. With our own kids, because I got a 20-year-old and a 22-year-old, we're teaching them really practical things. Like, we're teaching them things like friends hire friends. Mm. Like, networking gets a bad reputation, but the reality is, like, you work with the people you like and know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So be deliberate about having lots of friends in your industry. Like, I mean, take comedy. Like, you, like, a big part of, in my opinion, doing a public speaking job or a comedy job, like, I've been told this multiple times by people ahead of me, is you got to be a good hang.
Oh, 100%.
Like, you
got
to be a good hang.
Yeah.
Like, and so that's a thing that, like, if you only focused on the craft of your joke, but you're a terrible hang, you're not going on the Nate Land cruise.
No.
Nate's not going, I want to be trapped at sea with Dustin for 3 days.
Yeah, yeah.
And I hate hanging out with him. So we're trying to get our kids to see kind of career in a bigger perspective of like, friends hire friends. Like, what does that look like for you to be really good at conversation? Or, hey, follow what matters.
Yeah.
Or, hey, even if you're not naturally detailed, it helps to be detailed. Like, little stuff like that, I think is what we're trying to. And then, like, when the world says, like, you'll never own a home, we're like, well, let's see if we can figure that out. I don't like when any 60-year-old tells my 20-year-old how the next 40 years of their life is going to go, because they don't control that.
Mm-hmm.
So I reject that kind of thing outright. I'm like, I think it could be harder. I think there's a lot of things that have changed, but I'm also like, I remember I was alive in 2008. I worked like, this is like my third or fourth recession.
And
if every time I was like, oh, this is the worst one ever, I'm like, oh man, I worked for Auto Trader in 2008 where nobody was buying cars and you never knew who would get laid off. And then as far as like having a side hustle, yeah, I just think that learning how to work is a valuable skill, especially if you're going to do a dream job.
Right.
And so I would much rather you go learn how to work, do it on the side. Like, I had you on my podcast, and I'll never forget, I was talking to you about like, well, what about the risk of like, to start comedy, there's not money there. It's not like you're jumping into a pit of money. And you were like, yeah, but my current job wasn't making a ton of money, so it wasn't scary. Being a youth, I don't know if you've heard of youth ministry, John. Nobody's like, I can't leave this lucrative field and chase a dream. What if I, but you were in the zone already practicing learning how to work. And so like, to your son, I mean, specifically to your son, I think you're right. I'd go, man, can you go learn how to do a lot of these things so that you don't have to learn them on your own dream?
Meaning,
could you, you know, like, and that takes some patience.
Yeah.
But I'm excited for this next generation because I think they have tremendous opportunities. But I'd also say, I think my kids' jobs are going to be radically changed by AI.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm doing as a dad, I'm learning AI in part so I can talk to them, because I think we're 6 months to a year out from them going to a job and somebody going, how many agents do you bring with you? Meaning like, how many specific other trainable agents you've built with Claude or whatever. When we hire you, do we get 5 people? When we hire you, do we get 6 people? So like, we're in a spot where like that generation, I think, is going to run laps around the older generations if they actually try it. But the big thing, like the last thing is, man, nobody changes just because. Nobody ever leaves their comfort zone willingly, and they shouldn't. It's comfortable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They always change because something outside it is worth being uncomfortable for. Mm-hmm. So I can very easily say to you, you did a very challenging thing. You're still currently in a challenging thing. Comedy is challenging, but man, it was worth doing a million uncomfortable things for.
Mm-hmm.
Like hecklers, flights, like club owners not giving you the full fee, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, dude, you are still walking a gauntlet. Like, you're not looking up going, yeah, now I like, come on, Dustin Land cruise. Like, I've done the thing. Like, you're still very much in the middle of building the thing, but it's worth doing because you can't imagine not doing it. Like, that's the thing for me is like, if you can help your kid find a thing that they're willing to do uncomfortable things for, like that, like, man, I would never get up at 4 a.m. for a flight if I didn't have a thing that I was crazy about.
Right, right.
And neither would you. Mm-hmm. Like, the city's comedians go for, like, I saw John Chris the other day. It was in February, and he's like, man, I'm going to Ithaca. I can't wait. And I was like, nobody says that. Nobody in February is like, I got to get to Ithaca, man. Spot, I don't want to see the sun. Yeah. I don't want to see the sun. Like, get me in Topeka, Kansas. Yeah. Like, some of the cities you guys go to, I didn't know America had.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't. I didn't know we had them.
And we're
I didn't,
like,
you
dude,
know,
have you ever met the people of Buffalo? You're like, they're the best people on the planet. Like, really?
Yeah.
You ever
and
been
so,
to Jamestown?
Like,
which one? Yeah, there's a million. Yeah. That's good stuff.
But you do it because you have a thing, dude. Like,
And
so with your kids, my kids, I'm trying to help them as I can, as open-handed as I can, go, hey, here's a thing. Like, and what does it look like to throw yourself at that
thing? That's good stuff. And let me, if we can ask one more question, and this kind of ties in to what you're saying. And so I knew stuff Christians like, and then I was, the job that I had before I did stand up was I actually was working at a rec center. It was middle management at a rec center, and I was kind of tiptoeing, like putting my foot in the stand up waters, and like a mentor type of mine, Mike O'Neill, sent me Quitter. And the thing that I always, and he was like, hey, this is what you're doing. This is going to hit. There's some really good stuff in here. And what I always, there's two things I always remember, and I've talked to you about. One is the bathroom change, the classic of just like, you know, for me, it was gas stations. I changed in a lot of gas stations out of my
reverse Superman.
Exactly. Yeah. About, you know, going to a spot in LA, trying to get in at the, you know, at the improv or something. And then, but also not like learning how to work hard on staying focused on your first job and not taking from that job to give to. Now, this kind of ties into a question here that one of our guys asked. So, John, hi, John. I've been deeply blessed by your work over the years, especially Quitter. You encouraged me to slowly, responsibly remove myself from what felt like a bear trap of a career into me, the one that feels more like just a Chinese finger trap. I'm still working towards that dream job, but inching closer every day. Thank you for that. The question, how can I quit using email when my work relies so heavily upon it? I'd rather be strapped into a dental chair and be subjected to never-ending root canals without any anesthesia than ever opening my inbox again. And then he says, sorry for the email.
That's a good, you have great listeners.
Great listeners. Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah, that bear trap to
Chinese
finger
John's
trap.
Funny. Like, yeah. Our listeners are very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, if he was asking me that question and it was somebody I was trying to coach, I would just say, figure out how to do email on your own terms. Mm. Like, it's kind of like in my career, there's things I have, like, I would love to not have to fly. Guess what? It's part of the admission price to do the thing. So, like, if I were sitting down with him, I'd go, what does it look like for you to do email strategically 3 times a day versus a never-ending IV drip?
Yeah.
Because chances are he's not an ER doctor. The problem with email and technology is it acts like we're all super important all the time. So, like, I don't need my phone. Very rarely do I get an emergency call where I'm the fix. And they go, hey, we've got a huge emergency. We need a really clever way to say this. Do you have a, do you have a fix? Or like, and so I don't know what his job is, but I guarantee he's not like a cardiac surgeon.
Right.
He's like, if I don't see the email says patient's dying, get to room 12 stat.
Yeah.
Like, so I would just say like, hey, can you do email multiple times a day versus constantly? Because until there's another way that people communicate, like, you can, the solution is to get off email is you don't have a job anymore. But that feels like a pretty aggressive solution.
Retirement.
You know? Well, that's good stuff,
man.
Yeah,
beat.
I appreciate your time. I know you got a hard out, but reminder, Procrastination Proof coming out April 14th, but you can pre-order now, correct?
Yeah, pre-order, you get the audiobook for free. And I read the audiobook, and there's a ton of bonus content in the audiobook. So yeah,
awesome.
If you go to johnacuff.com/go and just say, I bought the book and fill out the form, you'll get the audiobook for free.
Beautiful.
So I read a lot. I listen to a lot more books than I physically read probably right now. Are you guys the same way? Like, when you're on the road, are you listening to podcasts? What are you listening
Music.
To?
Music. pretty exclusively.
Just dancing?
No, just dancing. Anything other than words.
Just
other than like I want to. Yeah, sure. I don't want to learn. I want to get moved. You know, yeah, I want to feel something, which is, you know.
Well, dude, I will tell you, one of my favorite jokes you've ever done, because I'm a fan, is your joke about this is how the rest of the Indiana Fever feel.
Oh, yeah. Opening for Nate.
Dude, opening for Nate. That was so, so
thanks,
good.
Man.
Like on
thanks, man.
So many levels. So it's been a thrill to watch me. It's been a thrill for me to watch your career just go and go and go and go.
Oh, thanks, man. Well, you were involved in it. So thank you. I appreciate.
Yeah. And we almost, the last thing I'd say, the last time we tried to get together, you were in Nashville. And it was hilarious because I said, how about coffee at 7 a.m.?
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, I'm a comedian. Yeah. That is not how we... So, like, you and I are, like, two different types of creatures right now. We're like, you're a night creature and I'm a morning creature.
Yeah, no, I'm probably... We'll get together for a lunch that will be your dinner. You
know? Yeah, that's
like, all right,
funny.
We're wrapping it up.
That's so good. It'd be like, you're a second meal.
Yeah, yeah.
So, well, guys, I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah,
this is fun. Good luck with the sign.
Yeah.
We'll work on it, maybe.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, I just, the budget. I don't know. The budget is concerning to me.
Talk to Nate Land.
if I see him golfing, if I'm ever at a golf course, I'll say,
I don't know if you guys are golfing on the same courses, buddy.
This is. I am doing this podcast from home. I hear you.
Loud and clear. All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, everybody, want to give a special shout out to our As Essential as Oils patrons. That's our $25 a month and up. Thank you, patrons, for making this podcast happen and being such a vital part of our community. Mm-hmm. That is Alex Foos and Sam Graham.
Averill Griffiths.
Allison Nelson.
Andy and Darlene Gerton.
Bonnie Galindo.
Brandon Schoenberger.
Ryan and Amy Nagel.
Byron Smith.
Carrie Teague.
Chris Finn.
Christopher and Bridget Finland.
Code to Grow.
Courtney Ibleen.
Cynthia Carpenter.
Demarius Diaz Stevens.
Daniel Owens.
David and Melissa Cox.
Dave Hoagland.
Dustin Daly.
Jason and Francis White.
Jonathan Ribera.
Jordan Cowan.
I lost my spot. There we go. Juliana Smith.
Christy Harrod.
Lori Amos.
Lauren and Nick Rachel.
Matt and Sam Slosdom.
Michelle Carlson.
Nick Cordell.
Neoma Walker.
Preston and Rachel Wilson.
Restless Mosaic.
Robert and Nellie Capin.
Scott Elliott.
Stephen Mania.
Sorry.
It's all right.
Matt Williams.
Zachary and Tammy Moyle.
And Tiffany Payne.
Thanks, everybody.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.